G'day. I got some notes. So anything can happen this morning. And one thing I'm sure, I'm not a great orator, but I love speaking about God. I love getting together with people who have a similar interest. I want to dig deeper into who God is and what he's about, especially today. I'm not overly interested in 6,000 years ago when God spoke the world into being. It's in the past. The Apostle Paul tells me not to look behind, but look forward. And what's coming forward, we've already heard about it this morning from Lynn. We have traumas in our life, all sorts of different traumas, and it gets us thinking about our humanity and how frail it is. Just over 3.5 years ago, I had a massive heart bypass operation. It was amazing. I knew nothing about it. They put me to sleep so deep that when I woke up, it was all gone, done, dusted. And I had very little pain. It was a little bit, and they gave me these pills and things to alleviate that. But it didn't last for very long. So trust God. Just trust God. And it will be fine. But the other side of that, if it hadn't gone fine and I died, whoopee, I'm with Jesus in heaven. I've got a confidence within me. And I hope every one of you have the same confidence that this life doesn't really matter. Lynn brought it out, doesn't matter what we do. Jesus is our ticket to heaven. And he's the only way we can get there. It doesn't really matter what we do. But then God says, hey, hang on a minute. I've got some requirements. And I've just been fascinated by the book of Malachi. Every sermon I've ever heard out of Malachi is chapter 3, verse 10. Who doesn't know what that says? Everybody knows what that says. But you look at the rest of the book, it's only 4 chapters. The last chapter's only that long. But it's a story of a God who is peeved with his people because they're doing the wrong thing. We just heard around communion that Jesus, the Lamb without blemish, paid the price for our sins. Well, these people were bringing their lambs to the offering, who were blind, who were sick, who were lame. They said they would bring their best and brought their worst, and God was not pleased. There's another place there it says God gets stuck into the priests, and the priests need to listen to what God says. There was a point there where the priests were telling men to divorce their wives of old from their youth, trade them in for a new model. But the new model was not one of theirs, it was from another country, ones who worship false gods. God was a bit peeved with the people. We go on into chapter 3, where God says, you've robbed me because you've not brought the whole tithe into the storehouse. And the people said, well, how can we rob you? And God goes and tells a story that if we don't honour him with the whole tithe, we're robbing him. And you're not bringing your best to God. The whole book goes on about us bringing our best to God, not coming half-hearted. When we come together as we do this morning and we begin to sing and to praise and to worship, we're not to do it half-heartedly. We're to give all that's within us to bring praise, glory, and honour to his name. Speaks about that in this book. It reminds me of a scripture in the New Testament, and we all know this. I'll just pop it up. I've got tags in my Bible, you see. I don't press a button, it comes up there. I'm old school. I had an argument with a guy on the telephone the other day. He wanted me to go and turn my computer on. I told him no. I got so annoyed I hung up on him. Mainly because I don't know how to turn the thing on anyway. I'm old school. I'm a dinosaur. One of those ones that have been around forever. I want to start from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. It says, "So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord." Paul's not giving us a choice here. He's insisting that we listen to what he's saying. You must no longer live as the Gentiles. As the Gentiles do. In the futility of their thinking, they are darkened in their understanding and separate from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to hardening of their hearts. Brothers and sisters, don't harden your heart towards God. Just don't do it. Two people died this week on the world stage. Who can tell me who the two people are? Aretha Franklin. Kofi Annan. Not many people know about Kofi Annan, but he was a peacemaker. And we know what the Bible speaks about peacemakers. He was a Secretary General of the UN for a number of years. He won the Peace Nobel Prize. Yet hardly anybody knows that this man, who was a peacemaker, died this week. But they think about Aretha Franklin, a woman who had a traumatic life, was the daughter of a Baptist pastor, who annually went back to that little church and put on a performance to bring finance into the church. That's not God's plan. God's plan is that we bring the tithe and the offering into the church. Now that she's passed, I wonder what's going to happen to that church if they've been relying on that money to keep it going. The principle is all wrong. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality as to indulge in every kind of impurity with continued lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ in that way, praise God. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off the old self, which is being corrupted in its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds. That's what Malachi was about, telling the people to change their minds, get back to the ways of God. Excuse me. Yes, to be made new in the attitude of your minds and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood, speak truthfully to his neighbour, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. See, it's not a sin to get angry, but it's a sin to let the sun go down on it, to let it eat away inside, because it can produce, as we see in the news every day, death. And the other place it says, and do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only that which is helpful for the building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of bitterness, rage, anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ forgave you. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. We see here in Malachi that the people were grieving the Holy Spirit. God was peeved with the people because they just weren't doing the right thing. They had a form of godliness, but denied the power thereof. In the end of chapter 2, it says, "You have wearied the Lord with your words. How have we wearied him, you ask? By saying, all who do evil are good in the eyes of the Lord, and he is pleased with them. For where is the God of justice?" We hear so much of that these days. Where is the God of justice? As I shared around communion last week, life's not fair. Decidedly unfair. There are those, Pastor Mike's been sharing about those who blame Satan for things that come in their lives, and most of the time it's their fault. Here it's talking about those that blame God for things that happen in their life, and usually it's their fault. It's the opposite, but the same thing. I know some people. I've known them for a long time. I officiated their wedding. Who are now separated. And because of circumstances and situations mainly caused by them, they blame God. Turned away. They do not fellowship. I don't think they have any relationship with God at all. And that's sad. And you probably all know someone in a similar position. I've prayed with these people. I've pleaded with them. See the truth. Yet they can't get above the circumstances. It's all right to ask God why, but not to blame him. So often people do that. God says, because of this, you weary me. The end of the book, the last chapter. And I'm really just going over this because it's too much in here to do in one day. It speaks about the day of the Lord. It says, surely the day is coming, it will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant, every evildoer will be stubble, and that all that is coming will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Not a root or branch will be left of them. But for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings. Praise God. You who fear his name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings and make sure and sound your salvation. And you will go out and leap like calves released from the stall. You will trample down the wicked. They will be ashes under the soles of your feet on that day. When I do these things, says the Lord Almighty. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the decrees and laws I gave him at Horeb for all Israel. See, I will send the prophet Elijah before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers, or else I will come and strike the land with a curse. And I think that finishes rather abruptly. It just seems something missing at the end. But it's not there, so we can't put it in. But we have this prophet. He didn't say a lot. But he's regarded as one whom the Holy Spirit was upon and in to bring the truth to the people of that time. And the message for me is that we don't want to peeve God either. We don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. So we need to bring to God that which is true, that which is the best. And really, that's the challenge for us as a people. We may bring our tithes and our offerings into the storehouse, but God wants our best apart from that, in all the things that we do, and not necessarily in this room. So young people, young married people, don't, young men, young husbands, don't trade your wife in for another model as you get older. God's not happy with that. He has made allowance for the divorce, but he's not happy with it. And I think it's great that Jess and Jared are going to renew their vows next week. Well, on Tuesday this week, Sharon and I have been married 47 years. A lot longer than 10. God must have seen something in us to keep it going that long. Because in Malachi it speaks about blessing those marriages that hold up the principles of God and the vows that you give on that day. It's the things you speak with your mouth that God holds up before you and before others. That's that vow to love God that will stand up on that day. And all those that have not done that, their vows won't stand. It's sad. But we've been given a role to encourage, to speak to these people. If they don't listen, that's not our responsibility. But our responsibility is speak to them the wonderful things of God. Because if we don't, they won't hear. In another place, the scripture says, how will they hear unless someone preached to them? Well, I don't consider what I'm doing preaching, because I don't see any unsaved in the room. Some form of teaching. But preaching is for the lost, not for the saved. So when we come on a Sunday morning, we're not sitting under a sermon. We're sitting under the ministry of God and the Holy Spirit through a particular speaker, whoever that happened to be, anointed by God to speak words that will encourage us, spur us on to good things. Be challenged in our heart to say, God is on the throne. He is the one who is directing my paths. And I don't know whether Lynn's come to this point, but I've come to the point in the last two or three years that I'm ready to go home. If I die tomorrow, it's not a problem. I have confidence in my God and what he did at Calvary, that I don't have to fear dying on an operation table. I don't have to fear being run over on the road or someone jumping out from a dark bush. It was on the Saturday night we had the dinner thing here for the whatevers. Sarah and I walked home as we normally do, and up the side there it was pitch black. I've never known it to be so dark. There could have been anybody or anything hiding in the bushes. we wouldn't have seen them even if they're standing in front of us. The only place I've ever been that's been that dark is in a cave underground. They turn the lights off. You can actually taste the darkness. It's an incredible thing. But it doesn't matter. God says our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know, we put so much importance about scratching a leg or a hand or losing one. But it doesn't matter. This life's not that important. The Bible speaks, and others speak about the big picture. The others speak about the big picture. It's about that small. God's big picture is outside of creation. Can you imagine that? We see these pictures that they take from these telescopes they send out into space. It seems to go on forever and ever. God's outside of that. Don't know whether you've seen the film. I reckon it's a bit stupid, but I should be condemned for watching it all the way through. It was the Blues Brothers, and they were out chasing these aliens. And this one particular alien had come down. He was in the form of a giant grasshopper or something. And he was looking for this particular universe. And when they discovered the universe, it was like a marble hanging from a cat's collar. And immediately I thought of God. And our universe is like that to God. We're the specks, smaller than the grains of sand. But he loves that much that he came and died for us. Why do we continue to peeve God? Why do we do it? We do it because of the sin nature which we still have. But as we read in Ephesians there, we put on the new man, put off the old man, that we can walk with God, with confidence. Thanks, Chaz. Didn't use my notes at all except for two little lines there. As I said, I'm no great orator of the word, but I love God. I love speaking about God. But I also love challenging God's people. Because just as God was peeved, I see things that we do. Not pointing any fingers, I'm just saying things that we do that probably peeve God as well. If God is pointing something of those things out to you today, then get on your knees before him and get it right. And one of the best times, if you don't do it beforehand, is next communion, next Sunday morning. Come into the presence of God and commune with him. God knows I've had some conversations with God over the last 3.5 years. And I still know better days ahead. That word that was brought about 10 times, I reckon it's bigger than 10 times. What God wants to do. And the only thing holding him back is me. Possibly you, but me. It's too often I get in the way of what God wants to do in me. And I reckon all of us can put our hand up to that and say, yeah, that's me. Another good thing about God, he don't give up. Pastor Mike's been preaching about resisting the devil and he shall flee. Another scripture that a preacher years ago, who I used to have time for, I don't have time for him anymore, but because he's crying out for money all the time. But I remember him on the stage, 5,000 people. And he's up and down. He says, the Bible says, rebuke the devil. And he says, you people rebuke and he don't buke. The reason he don't buke, because we don't know our position in Christ. We let the devil pull the wool over her eyes. Because greater is he that is within me than he that's out there in the world. That's for all of us. I'm starting to waffle. Father, we thank you, dear God. But Lord, we cannot peeve you and get away with it. We cannot grieve the Holy Spirit and get away with it. But Lord, you've made and continue to make ways for us to overcome. These things are reminded of in Romans, where it says that we are more than overcomers, not just overcomers, but more than overcomers through Christ who strengthens us. So, dear Jesus, strengthen us this morning as we go about our daily lives to bring honor and glory to your name, that we would not peeve you in any way. Father, we thank you that you'd never leave us nor forsake us. In Jesus' name, amen.